You know, there are so many in our world today who want to see a miracle. They want to see a miracle happen. They want to be present when some miraculous healing occurs, or to be there when some miraculous event happens. And people will travel throughout the world going to different places where there are supposed apparitions, rumored apparitions, approved apparitions, visions of Our Lady, visions of our Lord, places where healing has happened, and they will travel throughout the world to see, to hope to see one of these miracles. Well, you know, we don't have to travel around the world to see a miracle. Yes, miracles happen all the time. Miracles of healing do happen. In fact, that's usually considered to be one of the first steps towards someone being declared a saint, is that there's a miracle of healing. Now, it's not usually a dramatic, you know, an arm suddenly regrows or something like that. Usually something more like an incurable cancer suddenly disappears. These miracles do occur. But you know, there are miracles that happen every day. And you know, we might not even notice this miracle that occurs every day, although we've all seen it. And you know what? It's about to happen again. Here in just a few minutes, a miracle is about to occur. A great miracle. The greatest miracle of all is about to occur. Simple bread and wine. Simple elements, things we use every day of our lives for many of us, is about to change. And of course, it's about to change into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. And not just can we be present for that miracle, but then we can receive our Lord. We can come forward and receive that bread and wine that have become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Now, we don't think of that much of as a miracle, though, anymore, do we? Especially those of us who have grown up Catholic, it's been a part of our lives from the very beginning. We have, most of us, if not all of us, have come to Mass since we were infants. And the Eucharist was a part of our life from the very beginning. So it's not a big glamorous miracle. We want to see the sun spinning in the sky like it did at Fatima. We want to see the miraculous healings of someone coming out of the waters at Lourdes and suddenly they're healed. But this is so much better. This is so much better of a miracle, even though we don't see anything. Yeah, this is a miracle that we don't notice a change. The bread and the wine don't change in appearance. They look like bread and wine, with the exception of the occasional Eucharistic miracle where it really does. There have been several recently, as a matter of fact, where the host actually became heart muscle. It actually became flesh, visibly flesh, not just bread, but visibly as flesh. But sadly, because we're so familiar with the Eucharist, or at least we think we are, because it's been a part of our life for most of our whole lives, we truly do not recognize what is going on there. It is not a mere symbol. We don't say that the bread and wine symbolize Jesus, like other denominations might. We believe as Catholics, we know as Catholics, because of our Lord's own words, which St. Paul repeat to us, it truly becomes his body, blood, soul, and divinity. St. Paul describes those words, and those are words that we hear the priest repeat Mass after Mass after Mass. And the moment the priest says those words, this is my body, this is my blood, that miracle occurs. Heaven and earth is united on the altar and becomes, that bread and wine becomes our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity. And after that happens, we participate in receiving him. We participate by eating our Lord. It almost sounds a little odd to say it that way, but it's true. We partake in his sacrifice by receiving him, taking him into our bodies. You know, there's always the saying, you are what you eat. You know, everybody's heard it. People probably use that. You know, and of course what it means is when you eat healthy food, you're going to be healthier than if you eat junk food. You know, if you were like I was when I was still working before I entered the seminary, I think I subsisted on a diet of Doritos and Coke. And I think that's why, as a matter of fact, I know that's why now I have a lot more weight on me than I really should. I am what I eat. I'm a bunch of Doritos and Coke, at least weight-wise. Well, in a more literal way, we are united with our Lord. And instead of us, Him becoming a part of us, we become a part of Him. We become more deeply entrenched in the body of Christ, the church, every time we receive the Eucharist. Every time we do that, our spiritual bond with our Lord is strengthened. Now, there's one thing, though, we need to be very aware of when we receive the communion, in that we are doing so worthily. We are doing so prepared to receive Him. One of the problems, if you will, that I have with the lectionary is that second reading. It's a beautiful reading. It's a reading from St. Paul reflecting how beautiful the Eucharist is. But it leaves half off. Now it finishes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes." But St. Paul continues there. And he continues with a warning that we need to heed. And so I'm going to read this. What, in my opinion, as you know, as far as that goes, should have been in the lectionary. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and the blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are ill and infirm, and a considerable number are dying. If we discerned ourselves, we would not be under judgment. But since we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Now I read that because we need to recognize how important it is to prepare ourselves that we are worthy to receive the Eucharist. And by that I mean that we have examined ourselves, examined our consciences, and confessed our sins. That we have prepared ourselves that we are not receiving our Lord in the state of mortal sin. And not just that, but also that we are preparing through our spiritual and physical preparations for the Eucharist. That we prepare for the Eucharist, first of all, by doing the fast, which is the 1 hour fast, but also through our spiritual preparation before Mass, that we take time to reflect on what it is we do when we receive our Lord. If we are not willing to do those things, we are not prepared, we are not receiving Him worthily. And you know, I think as good as it is that more and more Catholics realize the importance of receiving communion, I think they've also forgot the importance of ensuring that they are worthy and prepared to receive communion. And as St. Paul says, we eat, if we do this without discerning the body, as he puts it, in other words, preparing ourselves, doing the examination of conscience, if we don't do that, we eat and drink judgment on ourselves. That's not a situation we want to be in. We want to be in that situation where receiving our Lord draws us closer to Him. Draws us closer in union with Him, and most importantly, keeps us from judgment. Keeps us from the condemnation that comes if we are not worthy. Because to receive our Lord in the state of unworthiness, to receive our Lord when we are not prepared, it is a sacrilege. It is an abuse of His body and blood. So may we truly prepare ourselves to receive the Eucharist. May we truly, if we are aware of any mortal sin on our souls, may we not receive. Because it is better for us not to receive if we are unworthy than it is to receive in that state. Because we do not enter ourselves into the judgment if we abstain from receiving. So as we prepare for this great miracle which is about to occur, may we ready ourselves to receive it, to receive our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity, and so receive him worthily and receive him so that we may spend that eternal life with him, rejoicing with him who has given himself to us in the Eucharist.